Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is God's purpose of woman as the helpmeet. In Genesis, if you get your finger in there, go to Genesis 2 and Corinthians 1. We're going to use those, and then I have some stuff out of Proverbs I want to show you. But if we could go there, before we get started this morning, as always, I have a song that I want to do for you. So we'll do that. And when I come back, we're going to do the prayers for the day. But thank you, folks, for being here, and God bless you. You are my all in all. All right, folks, I'm going to end the song there. There's a little bit more left to it, but I'm going to let that quit for now. We need to get to the message, folks, and before we do that, we need to get the prayers out of the way. So this morning, some serious things happened in the last week, folks. And this past week, there was a family named the Coffin family. They lost their son at 17 years old in a car accident. And, you know, that's not going to go away easy. When we suffer a loss, it's one thing, but it's when you suffer a loss of a young man who's only 17 in a car accident, that's a pretty big tragedy for the family to have to deal with. So if you would, please pray for the Coffin family today. And through the week, folks, let's not forget him. His name was Alan. Anyways, folks, we have another prayer request for Tim. Tim is a friend of Sandy Washer's. His mother died overnight last night. Please pray for him and his family. I'm not sure what happened there, but I would imagine that mom was getting on in age. But anyways, Frank Sanger, he passed away this week also, folks, from a long illness. He's related to me somehow through my father's relatives. But at any rate, he passed away. And again, it's a family member that passed away. So he was ill, and we could expect that. But like I said, you know, the Coffin family is going to be on my mind for a lot for this week. But please pray for Frank Singer's family as well, and for Tim's mother passing away. Bill Peters' mom, another gentleman I know, his mom's terminal, has terminal cancer. They're trying to figure out about bringing her home so they can get her back here to Maine. She's out in Pennsylvania, I believe. Get her back here in Maine so that she can be with family before she does go. Janelle Voss, again, another one. A friend of my wife's online that is going through some tough times with her cancer last bout of treatment. And the numbers are down, but, you know, that's something that we have to deal with, folks, when it comes to the numbers in our cancer. They may go down, but that doesn't mean that we're not still sick. Concetta's mom, her brother, terminally ill, also just found out that they've probably given him about a year, maybe, if that, to live. So that's going to be weighing on Concetta's family's mind for the next couple of months and how they're going to deal with that and the mom and everything, because it's mom's last living brother. Also, for Concetta's grandmother, she had a broken leg we were talking about a couple weeks ago, and she finally, the doctors decided that they're not going to just let it be. They had reset it, and it's supposedly doing better, and Concetta was telling me, we were joking last night, that her grandmom's back to complain, and so she's doing much better. But anyways, we just ask you to watch over. And great praises for that, too, that she's on a healing end with that ankle. Folks, please pray for relationships, for people that are in relationships, people that you know, family members. Pray that the Lord will continue to bless them and watch over them. There's a lot of things that are going on that people don't talk about within relationships, and they're not working out as well as they thought. And, you know, they're facing divorces or separations and things like that. But, you know, if we look to God, our relationships, and that's what kind of where I was with this message today, relationships are a tough thing. They're work. They're constant work. And it's not about self. It's about doing for the other person in your life. So please pray for them, that there's a lot of worldly stuff in society would love for us to not be together. For whatever reason, society wants to serve itself, folks. They're not interested in doing what God asked them to do. And again, you know, I've had people call me a hypocrite because I've been married more than once. But I got news for you. When the Lord touches your heart, you know what's right. That's all I'm going to say. You know what's right. So you do it, regardless of what yourself what you feel for yourself or your selfish attitude is. You do what God asks you to do regardless. So please pray for the relationships around us and all of those that are in relationships and starting relationships, that they would start them out on the right track and not just serve themselves, but look to ways that God asks them to do the right thing. So with that, let's go into this morning's message. But folks, all of these prayer requests, before we go there, let's just ask the Lord to bless them, watch over them, keep them safe, take care of the families, take care of those that are suffering, those that are going through the illnesses, that are going through trying to bring home his mom, bring her back here so they can be together for the last moments of her life. And for those that have passed, Lord, that the families would find solace in your word, Lord, just that they would know that the family members would be home with the Lord as long as they've been saved and they know Jesus Christ. Thank you for all you do for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The word this morning, like I said to you, I'm trying to get this together so that we can use the scriptures properly. As I always tell you, you know, don't take my word for it. Get a Bible. Read it. Understand it for yourself. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. Like I said earlier, you know, people say different things. Like they call me a hypocrite because I'm married more than once, but yet I preach. And how is that when the Bible says that we should have only one wife and blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, folks, this is how I'm seeing it. That's why I say, you need to know the truth. You need to go find it for yourself. And the only way you're going to find it is if the Holy Spirit works in you. And that happens only when you're reading the scriptures, so the Holy Spirit can guide you and strengthen you. Now, I'm not a Paul. I didn't actually go on some road to Damascus, going out to hurt the world, going out to kill everybody, or bring them to be beaten and thrown in prison because they share the gospel, nor was I out trying to beat up those that were sharing the gospel because they were telling me what's right or what's wrong. And all of a sudden, God just said to me, got a hold of me and said, you can't do that. I wasn't that kind of a Saul. I was the kind of Saul that lived kind of like Saul in the world as the world and didn't give any consideration to God or Jesus Christ. And one day he got a hold of my heart and he started to work in my life and changed me. And that's why I'm trying to bring to you this word about what this part about what the helpmeet is for a woman. Now, I can tell you right now, the reason why the churches don't preach on this much anymore is because they don't want to hear from the women's rights movement. They don't want to hear women yelling and screaming at the pastor anymore about that's not right and a man shouldn't be lording over his wife and blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you, folks, go read your Bible. Understand what the Bible says. I don't believe that any man should be a slave master over his wife. So let's get that out of the way right now. This stuff about Christian men being head of the household and treating their women like trash or second citizens in the house, that's not how it works. You're either equals or you're not. When God took the rib out of Adam's side, there was a significance there. The significance is that rib is that Adam and Eve are one and the same. So one wouldn't treat the other any differently because man will not treat himself badly. Okay? Like he would treat his wife if she was less than him. Because that's not how it works. And if the wife is doing her part as a Christian, doing what she's supposed to in the Lord, then she's doing her part within the Lord. And that's the man's responsibility to do his part within the Lord. So don't come to me later on somewhere over on Facebook and give me this hard time about, pastor or preacher, you go sharing the gospel, but this. Or that you tell it like this, but that's not what it is. Don't come to me with that if you haven't read your Bible. Because if you're not going to read your Bible, you're wasting my time and yours. And you shouldn't even bother wasting your time listening to me because you're just trying to waste my time. Okay? But I'm telling you what I saw in Scripture for me and what works. What works for you, that works for you. That's between you and God. Now, back in Genesis, in chapter 2, what it said was this. Over, I believe it's in verse 10, it says the name, it's down in 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. You see, when God was creating the earth, he didn't create anything but the heavens, the earth, the animals, the moons, the stars, right? And he created Adam to watch over the animals. But he knew that Adam was going to need some help with that. And he said, I will make a helpmeet for him. In verse 19, it says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, or called every living creature, that was the name thereof. You see, he gave Adam charge over all the animals. He put him in charge of them so he can give them a name. And in the process, what he said here, he said, all of them were created and formed from the earth. But then as we read down further, it says, and Adam gave them names to all the cattle, to all the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found any helpmeet for him. So Adam did all that, and all of a sudden there was nobody there for him. Otherwise, it was these animals to care for and take care of. And again, God's way of doing things. It's not for us to ask God how come or why not. Yet we do that. God said, this is what I want you to do. Do this, and then he's going to give you help me. In other words, when you look at man as a whole, man has a responsibility, right, in our society to go to school, get an education, get a job, then find himself a help me, and then have a family. Today, we rush into it. We don't even set the groundwork. We're already starting out before we're even 15 years old, doing things wrong, selfish reasons, and then before you know it, we're trying to start a family and we haven't even started right. And this is what I think this means. When God set Adam out to take care of certain things, he was trying to teach Adam something. There's a responsibility before you get the helpmeet. And then how you would treat it. Because you see, if we're working around the animals, we're learning how to nurture and how to take care of them and how to grow them and how to raise them and take care of them and do all those things. And then we have one that we can share an enjoyment with, all of that. And then it says here, it says, look, it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And while he was asleep, he took one of his ribs, and then he closed up the flesh, it says, instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. You see, he brought that rib out of Adam's side. He could have created a woman from the dirt. He didn't. He did something special. He did something different. He did something so that man would appreciate the difference. He did something so that man would appreciate the woman as being part of him and making her his responsibility and treating her as himself, because it's part of him. And his wife or his girlfriend or his, in this case, a helpmeet. And see, we shouldn't have a helpmate or helpmeet until we're ready to fulfill the responsibilities up to the point of caring for one. And we don't. We rush into that, and we don't put any effort into the respect and responsibility that goes with that, the nurturing, the caring, and the mature attitude to provide and care for and take care of and be there and be that provider, let's say. They rush right in nowadays, and that's our world. And this is done without respect of ourself and for that woman, which is supposed to be part of ourself. Now, Adam, it says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. See, God created the woman and then brought her to the man and said, here. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, you see, Adam started right then and there, and he said he would, basically, the way I see it is, Adam knew that this was his own bone, and he would treat it as respectfully as he would himself. It wouldn't be mean-spirited, or like in the case of an animal. There's no real connection there. It's just another animal, right? Well, we all have pets, and we treat them differently than we would a stranger's pet. Or we have a woman in our life who happens to be our spouse. We don't treat her the same as we would treat the rest of the world, because we're supposed to treat that woman differently. We're supposed to treat her as she's part of us, part of our body, part of our life. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Why does it say that in the Bible? You see, she's one with Adam. She's one with the husband. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed, says here in the last verse. That means when you're together, you shouldn't be ashamed of one another. Not in your body, no matter what. And it says here they were naked. You should be that comfortable with one another in your life forever, regardless, because everything should be out in the open with one another. Now I want to show you something else. If we go over to Corinthians, let's see, it's out in my Bible, so I want to make sure I get to it. In Corinthians 11:11, it says this: Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. That means we're supposed to be in Christ. That means we're supposed to both be serving and doing for the Lord the way the Lord asked us to. And the Lord asked us way back in the beginning when he shared this with Adam. He gave him someone to be a helpmeet for. We're supposed to be working to take care of the things that God wants us to do, not what we want to do selfishly for ourselves. We've been joined together, and it says we cleave to one another rather than we leave our mother and father and cleave to one another. That means we don't cleave to the world any longer. We don't do for ourselves, we do for each other. Because when you're with your mother and father, you do what your parents ask you to do. Now when you get in a relationship, you work through those differences and you do what's best for the relationship. And he says here, he says in verse 11, he says, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman. Neither the woman without the man. That means nowhere when you go anywhere are you to be without your spouse. You should always be taking your spouse with you. And I don't mean physically. You get out in the world and the world would have you running around like the world, living like Sodom and Gomorrah in your lust of your eye. And that creates a problem, and then this becomes a selfish thing. What about me? I don't even have a life. And I hear women saying this a lot, that they feel like they're held back somehow. I'm not saying that the man doesn't either, women, so don't go there with me with that, please. But the truth of the matter is this. We have a desire for things, and women have a desire for certain things more than a man. That's why a man can wear dungarees and a t-shirt and it don't bother him, but a woman would like to have nice clothes. They have a different desire system. So don't get caught up in all of that. But keep this in mind. If you're both working together for God, that's what it says, the man shouldn't be working for on his own, nor the woman working on her own, but they should be working together to do things as a helpmate. Now I'm going to read you some things, and I don't know how far I'll get on my message this morning, but I will tell you this, that as a helpmate, we're to do certain things together, okay? God created the woman from man's rib, and we're to do these things on God's terms, not man's terms. The Lord's the master, not the man, not the woman, but the Lord. And if the man's in subjection to the Lord, and the woman's in subjection to the Lord, then the both of them work together as a team. This is why a man leaves his mother and his father, it says, so they can work together and be together and sharing and being and communicate and dependent on one another in their lives. The way I read the verses in Genesis, my understanding is that the woman was created to be there to help the man in all aspects, including for procreation, but not just for procreation. Now, see, the problem with the world today is we want to fulfill that lust, and that's it. And then they think everything's supposed to fall in line because they gave themselves to one another. It doesn't work that way. Get there before you get to the bed. Work together before you get there. She is the man's strength when life is stressful. The man is the woman's strength when she is stressed. The man is to be the woman's shoulder to lean on. The man is to be her strength. This is not a one-way concept. When God had Adam care for the animals first and see that each had a mate, God must have seen that Adam should not be alone. Now, this did not necessarily mean that Adam felt he needed a companion or a helper. It meant that God knew that Adam needed a helpmate. It was up to God to provide that. It's not up for us, and we should be doing what God asks us to do throughout our life. And when God puts that right woman on our in our radar, on our path, we'll know that because she's a godly woman. According to the Bible, it's called a virtuous woman, and who can find one? Okay? God understood his deep needs, Adam's deep needs and his longings, and he knew that Adam needed someone, and he needed someone to go through his life with because it would be lonely without. How many times have we heard, I don't need anyone, I'm fine. If I wanted someone, I'd have someone. God knows our hearts, and he knows our needs. In God's infinite wisdom, he knew then, just like now, he knows our need and our every desire. He knows what we need in our life and what's best for us. How do we find that? We read the Bible, and it'll tell us what's best for us. When we do it ourselves, we seem to make a mess of it. Before you can have a godly relationship, you need to look at what each one in the relationship has for a part in that relationship. A helpmeet, according to dictionary.com, is this, a companion and a helper. Then it says in the second part, a spouse, or this in the third one. Anything that it aids or assists, especially regularly. That means it should be there constantly, always willing to help as a companion, as a spouse. Okay, so you have a husband now, or you wanted one, and wonder how do you help or what is that purpose? You feel a very real need and help to your husband in the work God has given to him. You are the one who helps to make him successful, successful in the work God has given to him in the ministry before him, in the raising of the children. You have heard the term, behind every successful man lies a woman? Well, for the believing husband, this is true. When we are fulfilling our God-given role as a helpmate to our husbands, we have a strong and powerful role in the success he has in his life. You see, a man can be successful. He doesn't have to have a woman, but having a woman helps make all of those successes that much more joyful, that much more meaningful. That does not mean you give up your life as a woman. It doesn't mean you give up being a helpmate or because things get so stressful and what am I doing all this for? You sit down and you communicate and you work through that and you find out the best solution as a team to make things work. It doesn't mean you both work together as one, but it means that you work together to be one. It means that you work together to get things done as a team. That's the modern day's world concept is this. Let's be rebellion. They don't tell you that. We'll be a rebellious people, right? And I'm sick of doing this for you. I just want to do for myself. I'm tired of being there all the time. Tired of always picking up after you. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. In the meantime, your spouse is out doing his part. So if neither one of you does anything, then it's like the Bible talks about the city that's fallen down and crumbled. Because a man cannot fight against himself without ruining everything. The modern day world, like I said, it talks about the rebellious people. And it talks about how the world will go against God. Now that we have an idea of what God planned for the woman in a relationship, let's look at a few things that are of key importance. The woman's not a doormat. The woman is important to the growth of the man in his ministry. See, the Lord knew the importance of the woman in the family. He also knew that she should be helping others. Her work should be to try to help not only her husband, but to go out and help in the community, to be there for other women, especially the younger ones, to grow them up and teach them how to be a good woman. It's also the woman's job to work inside the church, in the church working, to help the church grow. The woman should be obeying the Lord. And if she's doing what the Lord asked her to do, she doesn't mind laying down her life for her family. She doesn't mind laying down her life for her husband because she knows what she's doing is what God wants for her and what's best for her and what's best for her family. The woman has an insight in things, something that men don't really have. She'll see things that only a woman can see or only a woman can offer help for. Not that a man can't, but he ain't going to see it the same way a woman sees it. He ain't going to see the dangers a woman's going to see, what's going to come if he doesn't have that nurturing spirit. Having those insights, she can offer an insight into matters where the husband doesn't have any or his ability is lacking. When it comes to children, when it comes to family, when it comes to being compassionate, when it comes to being able to help others. Sometimes the woman can say, you should step back and let them handle that on their own. Whereas a man may feel sorry and want to jump right in and help. The woman's not a slave, although she is called to serve the husband. God never intended for her to be a slave, a doormat. The man is to know his responsibilities to her as well as she's to know hers to him. She should be able to protect and nurture her husband, but her husband should be able to protect her against any outside forces and do what's best to protect her. We're going to run out of time today, folks. I didn't realize I was that close, so I'm going to continue this message next week. Because I do have a lot here. It is not the woman's job to take on the responsibility of the man or the husband in the marriage. We're going to pick up there next week. But it's the man's responsibility to provide. The woman should only have to be there to help him go through those things and do what's her job, not his. It's not up to the woman to tell a husband how to run the household. We'll get there next week, folks. We'll put a star at this point for now. Next week, I want to pick up where I left off, but there is a point, and I want you to see this. Go and look at Proverbs 31, the last book of Proverbs, and you'll see where it talks about a virtuous woman. In fact, we have a group out there in the world today called 31. But we're done for today, folks. I'm out of time. Thank you for being here. God bless you. We'll pick it up next week where I left off. My last song is Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a great day. Come find me over on Facebook at William Preacher Bill Barnes. God bless you. week, folks.